You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Happy 30th birthday to Taylor.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
For your birthday, the Knicks started that game down 14-0. Miami Heat were not much better last night. I think that there's a very real Denver Nuggets Jimmy Butler conversation that should probably be had, because he kind of had a bizarre 2010 LeBron-like finals appearance against the Nuggets, but he had bought so much capital with that historic run that we really couldn't jump on him for only starting to shoot when the game was out of hand in Game 5. But they give him problems. It's a thing. And you know, it's not something that we have to worry about over the next 3 months, because the Heat are very clearly going to go to the finals again, and hopefully Denver gets plucked along the way. But there's something there. There's something there. I went to sleep after the end of the first quarter last night because the Heat were down 16, and at that point, you got to make a call, right? Everyone made that call. Heat down 16 after one, we're going to bed.
I had two double drinks at the Panthers game, so I went right to sleep when I got home last night.
Four drinks.
Nah, two. Oh, that's in my mind.
In your mind.
Did they lose? Drinks, folks. Like you wanted them to, or no?
No. See,
so you left upset?
The Panthers, I was in a real win-win last night because they got to overtime, and I was just like, hey, either they win or they lose. And for anyone that doesn't know this on air, I have a theory that the Panthers are peaking too early.
Yeah.
Baseball and hockey are similar, where it's – I actually am not joking about this. I know it sounds ridiculous.
But it does.
You want to be hot at the right time of the season, and the Panthers are flaming hot right now with like 20 games left. So I need over the next like 10 games. I'm cool with 500 ball over the next 10 games. Work in like a 3-game losing streak in there somewhere. And then that's when we bring it home.
Then you have to get hot again.
Final like 7-8 games end on like a 7-game winning streak and boom, peak right into the playoffs.
They have the Biden Cup right now, right?
President's Trophy, yes.
They're top of the table. The Rangers don't have the lead on them?
No, the Panthers are leading with a game in hand over the Boston Bruins, and they had the tiebreaker with regulation wins.
Okay, and so it's the New York Rangers, Vancouver Canucks, Boston Bruins,
Dallas Stars,
and Florida Panthers, and every day that you check those standings. So I'm with Chris to a certain degree in that we all know that there's a Biden Cup curse out there. You don't want the President's Trophy. We won it 2 years ago. We saw how that ended. Mm. But I do want home ice. And I know we're very good on the road. We're also very good at home. Florida Panthers, by the way,
Cup favorites, according to DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Cup favorites. That's not so bad. I like where we're positioned. I actually want the home ice because I don't want game sevens on other people's home ice. I want it here. I want that atmosphere provided we get that far. I'm with you when it comes to the President's Trophy, but I'm not with you on going 500 for the rest of the season because they're really good teams in the East.
Follow along, Mike. Just the next 13 games, 500 ball.
So you want
500 puck.
You want the conference.
I want the conference, yeah. I want home ice. The Panthers being the what is referred to as the 8th seed, although hockey really screwed up these playoffs. I hate the way that the hockey playoffs are
divisional.
It's terrible because if the Flyers end up making it, Carolina draws the Flyers, and the Panthers are probably going to have a more difficult opponent if they get the 1 seed. So it's just you can't even classify teams as an 8 seed. We had two teams make it to the finals at the same time. Both were 8 seeds, but it's not really referred to as the 8 seed. It's all confusing.
Wild card.
We had to win a Game 7, which was the highest rated game on of the hockey season last year at Boston. Yeah. I prefer not doing that again, is my whole point. It's one thing if you're sweeping the Carolina Hurricanes, even though to Coach Brendan Moore it wasn't a sweep, but I'd like home ice.
I heard Tkachuk on the Big Dog show earlier this week, and he kind of says the opposite, though. He's like, home ice is fine, but we want to be peaking at the right time. He's like, we want to be, because he's saying right now, he was saying that they're as bought in to the way they want to play right now as ever, even more than last season. Like, I know that's kind of just like an easy thing for him to say.
Oh, yeah, he's saying like, things that you want to hear. Yeah.
But I'm just telling you that if you watch them play, it's true. If you watch them play, man, they just... I know they've struggled a little bit. They've gone to overtime with some...
Yeah,
but they haven't played well lately.
No, they haven't. And like, I think you're getting your way in that they're getting points, but they're not particularly playing Panther hockey. Right. Last night was frustrating to watch because they're not pinning the puck in deep. The forecheck was okay, but I thought Montreal kind of out-Florida'd Florida to a certain degree. So I it's all about playing well. And they're not playing as well as they did a couple of weeks ago, but they're getting the results right now. So I think I think that there's still room for their form to improve, but, you know, still get the points.
Yeah, they did not play well last night. I mean, two blown assignments led to two breakaways. One of them was a goal.
But Sam Reinhart is back.
Yeah, 40th and 41st goal this
season.
Yeah,
he's back. Let's save some of these good takes for the hockey show, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that Sam Reinhart leads the league in power play goals and shorthanded goals?
He's one away from the franchise record.
I can honestly say I had no idea.
The Panthers, not, I guess, according to Chris, too hot right now. The Heat getting hot at the perfect time, though, right? Because now you're starting to get some attention from the national media. No one wants to play the Heat in the playoffs. We're starting to get, everyone's getting back on the Heat bandwagon just in time for the playoffs. Kind of working out for this show and what will inevitably be our disappointment when the Heat crap out again of the NBA.
So the Heat were playing well, and that's
they're playing bad.
It's a West Coast trip. At Denver, historically, has always been very difficult for this franchise. So what I'm about to do is unfair. The Jimmy Butler thing, I think, is fair. There's something going on there with Denver, and he needs to figure it out. Or maybe not if they get plucked, because we all know that the Heat are making the finals. But Scary Terry, they were playing well because Scary Terry just so happened to be injured. Scary Terry's coming off his best game as a Heat against Portland. And he comes into that game against Denver, and when I went to bed, he had already had one really bad air ball. And I woke up in my group chat. Apparently, he had four air balls in this game. He was terrible. And I told you when we
Is
traded.
Is that what the drinks Chris was drinking are called?
He was terrible.
He was scary. Like, the scary is like A-I-R for air ball. He was bad. And when they traded my least favorite player of all time in Kyle Lowry for my second least favorite player of all time in Terry Rozier, I told you and the audience, I'm willing to start fresh with this guy. But the evidence is mounting.
Well, you said you ripped him and then you came back a day later and you're like, you know what?
I'm bought in.
I'll watch.
I'm bought in.
I'll watch. I'll give him a chance.
But I've been watching and I think we're ready to call this race. He's not very good. And he's going to do the thing where he probably goes out of the rotation a little bit, then he erupts in like a weird game six for 35, and people will be in my mentions, and we'll all forget like just the game in Denver where he had four air balls.
Altitude, though.
I didn't want to actually talk about last night down here in South Florida sports. I know this is referred to as the local hour, but I am presently really snagged on something that happened in 2006 that Jess introduced me to. We have video.
In 2006?
Yeah.
She was a minor.
We have video of this, I'm being told. And did you know, Billy, that Joe Paterno once shit his pants during a game?
No.
And it was pretty obvious.
Go on.
It's pretty obvious. And he's not low-key about this at all. We have video from this, and let's all react. Let's ride the game, because I do want to do a bit of a Ron Rothstein stop it and hold type of deal. So let's run the tape.
Joe Paterno in the end zone.
Is he going to the bathroom?
Joe Paterno is leaving the field. He has come all the
way
across
it.
His offensive
stop it.
Line.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So
he's jogging off the field.
They cut a little bit from the early parts of the video, because the early parts of the video, you can already see on his face something happened. You can see on his face something happened, and you're also missing the effect of the teams are on the field. They're punting out of an end zone, and Joe Paterno runs in between the center and the punter. While the teams are on the field,
the pace is what gives away the pooping here. Like, he is not. This is not just a jog to a halftime. This is I got somewhere to go.
He literally cuts in between the play to run to the locker room, and I want you to look at the color pants that he is wearing at this point. If they show up in the frame, because early on you could tell he's wearing like dark colored pants. Yeah, see, he's wearing navy pants here as he's running through the end zone as teams are on the field. Okay. Now run the audio, if we can, please. He's wearing navy pants, and he's got a jog about him, and I think a lot of us recognize that jog.
Oh, that jog.
And we have no reason to know why. And Joe's maybe the only guy that knows.
Oh, no, we all know.
Kapanos to punt from near his own end line.
So we know that that was bizarre. We've never really seen a coach run in the middle of a play. Joe Paterno returns from halftime, and Bonnie Bernstein has an interview with Joe Paterno in which she asks him what happened there. And Bonnie Bernstein said that he's battling some sort of a flu bug, and you could see it on his face. Let's pod this up.
Today, suffering from a bit of a flu bug. He says he feels a little better, but I could just tell he's still kind of washed out. I said, Coach, what were you able to keep up on in the locker room? And he's like, well, I know we missed a field goal, and then we made it, and that's all that matters.
That's great.
Stop it right there.
First time Joe's probably
stop it right there.
Look at that. Is a man, a broken man.
It is a broken man.
He's got hands on his hips, just looking down.
And what do you recognize about the pants?
Ooh, different pants.
Khakis.
I mean, he's 79 at the time.
No, I know.
But I've seen this move before for my 6-year-old during a soccer game. Sometimes you just got to jog off the field in the middle of the game. It's something you would see in a rec league, like, hey, mom, I got to go poop.
Navy pants, and then runs, and then khaki pants.
Yep.
That man's
just a poopy, though, because he has a towel around his neck. He's clearly going through something.
I mean, well, that was kind of his thing, especially at that age. The towel probably shouldn't have been around his neck. He shit his pants, and he ran off, and he interrupted a play because he shit his pants. I did not know this about Joe Paterno.
I mean, you got to be in the morning. Like, I feel like, what time's this game at? Noon? Like, it's just, we got to think this out more for him.
I think one thing is obvious. This is the most shameful part of his legacy, no doubt, for Joe Paterno.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
All the cruise ships go out at like 5 p.m. And like it's like a parade of cruise ships, and they're all blowing the horn, like, and there's all these people outside because it's like,
It sounds like an old truck. Yeah,
I thought it was more like.
Oh my god, that was really good. Limited wait, do it again.
Limited fake cruise ship horn.
Stugats.
Really good. I'm waving to you.
Yes!
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
It's big movie weekend. With Dune 2 headed to theaters, and I've been kind of put off, and I know this is an algorithm that I'm getting because I've asked other people around me, are you getting Dune 2 IG ads?
I just keep seeing that Dune popcorn thing that looks like a flirt.
Yeah. So
Fleshlight. Yeah.
So I keep getting Dune 2 ads, but it's really off-putting to me because it's nothing of the movie. I would prefer to get the Fleshlight popcorn. All I'm getting in these advertisements are beautiful people being beautiful at red carpet events. And I'm like, this is a very strange way.
It is an attractive cast, though.
It's a very pretty cast. It's a very strange way to market a sci-fi epic that had already a first part that I had seen and I thought was just okay.
What's it about? What's Dune about?
A lot of sand.
There's a ton of sand. It's basically about sand. I saw the first movie, and I had same notes, too.
A reboot.
It's like if life existed only on
a noble
sand.
Family becomes embroiled in a war for control over the galaxy's most valuable asset, while its heir becomes troubled by visions of a dark future.
On
that
sand.
That says nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of
words.
It's kind of like
the Dune popcorn thing.
You're putting your hand in, but...
No, that was part one.
Are you getting it out?
Yeah, so, yeah, I've seen the application of people taking popcorn out, and you actually don't get a true handful. It scrapes a lot of the popcorn out of your hand, and you don't get like the full mouthful of popcorn. So Dune is a lot like Avatar, which is a lot like Dances with Wolves, which is a lot like Pocahontas. I know cinematically that's not the same timeline. I meant historical when it comes to Pocahontas. But, you know, I saw the first movie. It was pretty to look at. There was a lot of sand, so much sand. And historically, so Dune was a movie before. It was this in the 1980s. And I think I recall as a little kid seeing the original Dune, and it was a bomb. It flopped. And the source material was sort of like The Watchmen. How do you make a movie out of this? This is so difficult to make into a movie. And the answer was, let's just really draw it out. So the first one, very talky, okay, pretty to look at, sets up this part two, which... We see this occasionally. Number one movie on IMDb, 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's almost as if the entire industry rallies around one film to get you to go to the movies every year. This appears to be that time. The feedback that I've seen is epic, 100% Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, best movie ever, and also for Austin Butler, who I don't think is a serious person. He's getting rave reviews as best villain ever on screen. This is Heath Ledger Joker level type of stuff from Austin Butler.
This sounds like it's going to be a flop.
It can't possibly deliver on this.
Adnan says it's great.
Please.
And he doesn't, I mean, he's pretty...
He just likes to like movies.
No, he doesn't like all these, especially these big blockbusters. He's often critical of them. And he's just like, it's visually, it's just good.
But there's a lot of sand.
Oh, a lot of sand.
So much sand.
Do you think anyone's ever tried to f*** a popcorn bucket?
What? Most definitely. I've actually seen videos, not of people popcorn bucket, but taking, there's like the sandworm toys, and they're putting the sandworm back into like this, like, it was weird. I reported it.
I've seen a lot of like, Lord forgive me what I'm about to dune to this popcorn machine, whatever it is.
I don't know. I'm not going to see it on the biggest screen ever because when I'm getting an ad for it telling me to see it on the biggest screen ever, I'm seeing Zendaya in some sort of plastic outfit, and I'm like, this is not the movie at all. But there is a movie that has gotten some traction on social media, and it's in development, and it's American Psycho, which is, for my money, one of the funniest.
Are we making
another
this?
One?
Really?
Yeah, so there was American Psycho, and then a sequel with Mila Kunis that was American Psycho 2 that was, I mean, I think she was related to Patrick Bateman. She might have been Patrick Bateman's daughter, and it was just a terrible. I think it was straight to DVD at the time, and whatever. American Psycho is a perfect movie, in my opinion. It's a great dark comedy. It's, you know, my number two favorite movie of all time. I love American Psycho. And I know what the take is from everybody that loved the original American Psycho is, this is perfect. It does not need to be remade. But the reports are it's going to be a modern retelling of American Psycho, which was a period piece. And it, a lot of people kind of made American Psycho better by having their own theories as to what it was about. No, this is a statement on the vanity of the 80s, and it's a period piece. And I'm more inclined to go that route. I mean, what is more vain than the era that we're living in right now? It's actually perfect timing to have an American Psycho contemporary version. It's just applying that branding and that expectation with it. But we've already had a bad American Psycho out of the way.
I don't know, man. The 80s, it was pretty vain in the 80s, man. How is that going to get any better?
I feel the same way about this that I feel about like any reboot, which is like, if it's a good movie, I'll watch it. And I don't care if it's a reboot or not. It's just like sometimes they're just lazy and they kind of repeat the same thing over again and it's not good. But make a good movie, people will watch it.
I don't know. I think it's the audacity of making the reboot because The Naked Gun is getting a reboot with Liam Neeson. Like, how are you gonna do that?
I think that, look, the spoof movie has totally disappeared. Leslie Nielsen took it with him. And like a couple of months ago, I was binging Leslie Nielsen movies. I've gone as far as to see like those crappy golf videos that he's done. Those are really bad, really terrible. Leslie Nielsen was really unlike anybody else. You went to a Leslie Nielsen movie, you knew exactly what to expect. Scary Movie did resurrect the spoof movie and they paid homage to him by him being part of the cast in one of the sequels.
Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, but he took that whole genre away. It's goofy. It's not laugh out loud, fall out of your chair funny. It's more like funny haha stuff, and it's just pleasant to watch. And it's totally gone away. I know Rashida Jones did a series that was very much like Naked Gun, but that got canceled and no one's really done it. As we know from his clip with the Associated Press, Leslie Nielsen had great comedic timing, but Liam Neeson had better comedic timing with that AP interview. I actually, you kind of need a straight man, I think, in these spoofs, and he plays a believable cop.
He played an all-time great character in Dairy Girls.
No.
He was a cop.
I think it's going to be great, and I think the timing is right for a Naked Gun reboot, and it's not. It's not held in the same regard as American Psycho is. A lot of these Naked Gun movies are very poorly rated.
Can I ask a question about, and I might face backlash for this, about that Leslie Nielsen clip that we play for a long time. I kind of understood what he was saying. Liam Neeson, yeah. What did I say?
It is the Leslie perfect Nielsen actor to do the reboot because it will trip people up because they're both Liam Neeson, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, I got
very hard.
I got tripped up there too. But do you have the entire Associated Press clip? Because I want to. I think I'm with Billy on it. I know what he was going for. The no was just so perfect, and the note that he hits is just so iconic that we really lose the essence of what he was trying to say. So let's play that entire clip.
There's a lot of discussion about it, and a lot of healthy and necessary discussion about it, because the disparity sometimes is disgraceful.
How do you think we can move past that?
We're starting, and it has to start, you know, and it's starting with these extraordinary actresses and brave ladies, and we as men have got to be part of it, you know. We started it, so we have to be part of the solution.
So would you take a pay cut to kind of equal things out?
No. Pay cut? No. That's gone too far. No, there has to be parity. There just has to be.
I kind of get it. I mean, he's saying like, no, they should be as paid as much as I'm paid. No. I should be giving them, like, I should make less to make it equal that way. Like, everyone should be making more. I kind of get it.
Except when it comes to NIL. Probably, because we talked yesterday. I'm curious, Jess, you weren't here, and Lucy wasn't here either. And Lucy is taking a personal day because Caitlin Clark has announced that she is indeed going to the WNBA. I just threw out there.
Is that a good business move for her?
Well, people have done the math that there's an average WNBA salary, and she's presently making more. I saw she was hanging out with Theo Vaughn the other day in Iowa.
Do we have that video of Haley Jones talking about going to the W? Because she talked about how it's a myth, essentially, that you're losing money by going to the WNBA.
We'll get
once
that
you're
video.
A professional, your endorsements that you had in college will most likely continue. If not, you'll have the opportunity to do more.
I imagine she and her team have crunched the numbers, and she's got a massive shoe deal waiting for her. And I think she has a really unique opportunity in front of her to make the WNBA matter more by her arrival. And I think that's kind of part of it. We talked about it's a little bit of the Messi going to MLS and Beckham going to MLS thing versus some of the other offers that they have in Messi's regard, going to Saudi and just getting this huge bag. In Beckham's respects, him staying in Europe, adding more trophies. Let's play that clip that Jessica was referring to.
So you did not lose money coming.
No, ma'am.
I understand in plain language. You
spread
did not
the gospel. Spread the gospel, please. Right.
Yeah, I think it's people. I don't really know where that came from, but like when coming from the NIL space,
men, it came from men.
You're right. So it's completely right. Very rarely is it like a one post situation or like a 1 month thing. Like you're being endorsed by a brand for a long term contract. So like everything I did in NIL, I still have the majority of those contracts with me now. And then I take on my WNBA base salary. And then being in the W, being in the Atlanta market, then you start getting more endorsements. Now you're a face, like you're working to be one of the faces of the league with this team marketing agreement, league marketing agreement, whatever it is. There's a lot of opportunities to add on what you already have.
That's interesting. She maintained a lot of her NIL. And maybe I was approaching it from a naive space. Like I had an NIL deal with a women's college basketball athlete, and it stopped when she went professional over to Europe. I still don't know if we have enough data points on NIL to pros. So maybe that's a unique experience that she has, but it is something to consider. Like I don't think that there is any kind of scenario for Caitlin Clark here going to the WNBA that sees her making less money. That's not how these things work, right, Jazz?
Absolutely. She's a star. She's going to make money no matter where she goes. But I also think that if she wants to play pro, like it's weird that people are putting their own like opinions onto it. She's achieved almost everything you can as a college player, except for win a national championship. Maybe they'll do that this season. But she has the scoring record. She's broken tons of records in college basketball. And going to the next level, I think, will be a great challenge for her and something that if you're an athlete and a competitor, like, why wouldn't you want to do that? And why wouldn't you want to take that next step? Especially because the Fever have the number one pick. She'll be playing with Aaliyah Boston probably next year, who just won WNBA Rookie of the Year, one of the best inside players in the W. And the combination of the two could be lethal in the WNBA.
Don Lebatard.
I just heard a song that had Frank Sinatra singing from the window to the wall till the sweat drop off my balls.
Stugatz.
The window to the walls.
We all heard that, right?
Till the sweat drops down my balls.
So what I'm saying here.
All these females crawl singing, oh, skeet, skeet, goddamn.
Old Blue Eyes.
Congratulations on your Suey nomination.
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
I want to close the loop a little on Caitlin Clark before we move on to something that was born out of a pre-show meeting that we had. It was a startling revelation.
Not Joe Paterno.
Not Joe Paterno. That was a couple of things that I wasn't aware of.
I want to feel bad for a 79-year-old accidentally pooping themselves in public and having to like run out of their job, but it's Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
So I feel conflicted.
I will give you license to not feel bad.
Yeah, like
Joe
I feel
Paterno
conflicted as
fans.
A human being. Like I just naturally feel sympathetic towards an elderly person having an accident publicly and having to run out embarrassed. And
I think that's
also
what probably a lot of people are feeling. Also, my main feeling this morning was like, I can't believe you hadn't seen this before. You don't remember this happening. Like I feel like this was one of those college football things that like, I remember where I was when it happened.
Where were you? Like fourth grade?
Yeah.
I feel like there should be the easy solution here is just like a high class porta potty on each bench. But what's a better look? Jogging away where everyone knows you have to shit or the shot of you entering a porta potty on the sideline?
And then not coming out for like 10 minutes and well, everybody knows.
And they have the tent there on the sidelines where you can have a bucket. I'm going.
Bucket.
So I'm going to a Panther game next week. Annually, I have this thing called the Kitty Caravan, where me and a large group of friends, and it grows every year, we go to one Panther game that we've identified on the calendar. It's usually a matinee game. And we tailgate. We just love our ice cats. Then we go to the game. We inevitably lose because it's the biggest mush out there. And we've run into a couple of issues at the Kitty Caravan. I love the facilities. I love my time at Panther games. But they don't necessarily encourage tailgating, Roy. If you've been to the parking lot, you'll see people tailgating, having a good time. What you won't see are toilets.
No.
There are no toilets. Now, guys, specifically, we can get around that. We can work with
that.
No
problem.
You got a tree, you got a car door, you got a gutter, you got a grassy patch. We'll find ways. Just pull out the wiener and go. But ladies, a lot more difficult. And when you're tailgating with seltzers or Miller Lights, you got to go after a while, and there's no place to go. So I had this very thoughtful Christmas gift that somebody gave me, which is my own portable porta potty. It's a tent that people can go into.
Sounds gross.
And a bucket.
Who gave that to you? That's weird.
Someone that went to the Kitty Caravan in 2022.
Oh.
And I haven't had an opportunity yet to use this yet. It's still in its wrapping. And it struck me yesterday. I've been super excited to use my porta potty and take it because this is a practical application. The ladies that are going to this tailgate are going to love the fact that I was this considerate, and now we have a place that's private that they can go to the bathroom if they need
What's
to
it called?
I forget the name. It is a portable porta potty. It's like extra porta, but someone got it online, and it's this pop-up tent that pitches itself with a bucket and some bags.
Bags.
Some bags.
Who's going to empty that thing?
Because that's what finally dawned on me the other day is, all right, when it's time to go into the game, I've got this piss bucket now that I've got to empty.
Bucket.
And I've got to put that back in my car because clearly someone's going to steal my piss bucket.
Yeah, that's yucky. I would leave that outside the car until you got back.
But I put bags around it.
Is this what it looks like? Or would you just put up it on the screen?
That's exactly, that's kind of what it looks like. Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking.
It's yucky.
I just park next to a storm drain.
I like where your head's at.
And I put the tent over the storm drain. And
so you're just dumping sewage into the storm drain?
Yeah.
So people enter this little
porta potty. Where do you think sewage goes?
The whole ground area is just like wet.
The Everglades in this situation.
Like, it's not my problem. Like, this is all number one, Chaz. This is all number one. I'm sure there's way worse things in that storm drain than you know,
fertilizer.
Than Miller Lite induced pee. I not really my concern here, guys. But is that the move? Because I'm worried about the part that no one's considering, which is putting the bucket back in the car when it's time to go to the game and handling the bucket. I'm going to have to get rid of this pee at some point. It's going in the storm drain regardless. So do I just cut out the middleman and just put this tent over a storm drain and tell people, yeah, just go in the drain?
You said there are bags involved, right? Why don't you just put it in the dumpster or the garbage can, I should say.
These aren't really readily. You want me.
Carrying around a bag of warm piss.
You want me.
It's like a balloon.
I don't think you're supposed to pee in a bag. I think that this is just for number two, this bucket. Like, you shouldn't pee in there, I don't think, right?
Come on.
This is on the Panthers. Hey, Panthers. Can we get some porta potties?
They don't want us to. They don't want you to have porta potties.
Oh.
Because I don't. Very clearly, they would have them if they wanted this to be a thing. And this is their way to dissuade. It's kind of like saying that you have a boat show in town and you can't host the All-Star game. This is their.
This is their
form of oppression.
Right, is it because they don't make money off of it? So it's like we don't want people coming in more drunk. Like that's it. Like you're gonna get drunk enough here. So
bring their own.
It doesn't
alcohol.
Add value to us for you guys just entering the arena more drunk.
It could be a cost thing. I'm not sure. I don't know what the official statement is there, but they've gone several years without having toilets available for the people that want to pull in early and have a big Kitty Caravan bash.
I would think it is the cost. First, you got to pay for the disposal, and then people are bringing in their own alcohol, so you're not paying for alcohol in the game.
How exactly would I carry this bag?
I don't know.
Is it like Santa?
Twist tie? I don't know.
Tie it up?
I do the Santa. And put
I feel
it
like
over
you're
my
juggling
shoulder.
It down the street, trying
it
not
bounces
to drop
on
it.
Your back, like.
Yeah, so I think I'm leaning towards team pull up next to a storm drain.
There's gel that you pour into this thing, so you pour this gel into it, and it turns the pee into gel, so it absorbs the liquid. it would appear. You should see if your kit came with this, because I'm looking this up right now. There's also a poo absorbent that made it says lemon scent, so it makes it smell good. It seems like there's...
It's going to be one of those scenarios where it's poo and lemon. As it looks like the lemon like, eliminating.
Yeah,
poo.
No. So look, Jess, you can see this right here. Ultra absorbent to deal.
Don't know
so
if I want
there's
to.
The poo-pourri that represents the urine, and then when you put the liquid thing in it, it turns it into gel. So you're not walking around
so
with
like
a bag.
Hardened?
It's
like Play-Doh.
No, it's gel.
It's
yeah.
like gelatin.
Yeah, Jell-O pee, it seems like, if you put this stuff in it.
That actually seems pretty cool.
I mean,
science. But
it's crazy.
I feel like I'm doing worse to the environment if I'm dumping this sludge.
Well, no, then you would take that and put that in a trash can. I'm going to assume you won't put your pee shell into a sewer grid, I don't think.
But do I still do the Santa with it and I slosh it against my back as I carry all this human waste?
Yep.
And also,
I mean, I feel
it could break as I'm pushing it into these. It's not really the trash cans there aren't designed for a big sludgy gelatinous pee gel.
So, it's also hot down here.
Yeah. Mm. No, there's a lot of
the heat element.
I feel like your kitty caravan always adds something, and like you need to have like a pee gel Santa costume for like the next year. And then like the loser of some bet or something has to be the person that cleans it out, and they go in like a yellow Santa suit with the pee gel bag, and then they go and dispose of it. And you make it a whole thing.
Is this like a party bus that will stay there the entire time and take you guys back after?
No, because there's the kitty caravan in terms of paid attendance. Our group is 23 large, and there's people like you and Roy, I hope,
that aren't going on the kitty
Aren't with our ticket group, but already have tickets to the game, and we'll just be there to.
Oh, so you guys could pee in this tent. This is exciting.
Yeah, you guys are going to enjoy this
privacy. Yeah,
this pee tent.
Speaking of Santa, if I may make a segue here, Drive to Survive, the new season came out a week ago.
Santa's
and there
in
is
it?
A scene in it with technically Father Christmas.
Oh.
And he asked Christian Horner, who's a team principal at Red Bull, he asked his children if Daddy had been naughty the last year. And in hindsight, it was one of the most incredible bits of foreshadowing in the history of that show, because Christian Horner recently was accused of misconduct at Red Bull, and something insane happened yesterday in the world of Formula One, which I think people that aren't Formula One fans will find interesting, which is that Christian Horner, who is one of the faces of the sport, he had been accused of misconduct. He was being investigated by the team. The Formula One season starts this weekend. DNF will be back, TBD when. A little plug there. But the whole team's in Bahrain for the first race. And they said, okay, he's not, we're done with the investigation. Like, Christian's here. He's not going anywhere. We're clearing him, basically. And then a anonymous email gets sent to hundreds of F1 media members and to the heads of F1 with screen grabs of alleged text messages between Christian Horner and a employee of Red Bull. And this is the alleged wrongdoing that he was being investigated for. And so everyone in F1 is together right now. This was yesterday in Bahrain. They're still there. The race is tomorrow. And no one has been able to verify yet if these text messages are real. There's still, journalists working on it, trying to figure out what's what, trying to figure out how to deal with it, how to cover it, essentially, because no one knows who sent the email. Was it the person who's alleged to have been, the victim in this case? Is this someone else at Red Bull who thinks the investigation wasn't handled fairly? It's really sketchy. And obviously there's another person involved whose identity is anonymous. So it has to be, taken with some care, because they might not have wanted this information out there. But everyone is freaking out about this. And it is quite crazy.
Christian Horner's married to Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, right?
Correct.
Okay. Married man, family, as you outlined early on. The photos, I imagine, are lewd in nature, very inappropriate.
I saw the files that were going around. And again, I don't know what's real and what's not real, but it was a lot of bad and shocking things.
So it's F1 is a global sport, European roots. And when things like this have popped up in soccer, they seem to be behind the times a little bit. They had, as you mentioned, an independent, well, not independent, the Red Bull owners themselves conducted this first investigation.
There were barristers involved, from what I read.
Okay. So what exactly what do you expect the reaction would be from Formula One?
That's the thing. I have no idea.
Nothing like this has ever popped up?
No, there have been several scandals, but I think Formula One has, in the last 5 years, has changed quite considerably the makeup of who is actually running the sport and who controls the power. And I think Christian Horner himself has a lot of power in the paddock. He has a lot of power over being the team principal and kind of running the show for one of the biggest brands in Formula One gives him a lot of power, and he can do a lot of things that maybe other people wouldn't get away with if the allegations are true. So I genuinely don't know what's going to happen, but for a you know, weekend, for the first weekend in Formula One, the first race is usually like, it's exciting, but things ramp up throughout the season. This is about as crazy of a story that could happen in the first weekend of Formula One season.
And I was just trying to search for punitive precedent. All the media has all these things, so it'll be curious. I do want to talk to you on the other side about Formula One in general, because it seemed as though the bubble burst on that here, at least stateside.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.